Okay, good afternoon, folks. We would like to welcome you to our presentation of the voice software. My name is Brian Shaw, co-presenting with Pranav Lal. I hope I have that name right. So what we're going to do this afternoon is go through, tell you what the voice is all about, kind of define, you know, how it works, and go through and show some basic shapes, and then we will go through and talk about the there's two different versions. We'll talk about the PC version that runs under Windows, and then the mobile phone version, which runs under mostly Symbian, but actually I shouldn't say that. It runs under Symbian, and as long as you can support Java, it will run on your phone. So, without further ado, we'll go ahead and start by defining the voice. The voice was written by a man named Peter Meyer. I think I have that name right. That's how I heard it pronounced on one of the other programs I had listened to. So, he wrote up a piece of software that you can use, like I said before, both on your PC and on a phone that you can run Java. So what happens is, and the basic explanation is, the voice will take whatever happens to be in view of your camera, and it will convert it to sound or audio. Now there's three different rules that apply. By default, the voice will do a left to right scan. So if you have headphones on or stereo speakers, what you will hear is it will start at the left, sweep over toward the middle, and end at your right. Now that can be changed as another option to reverse that, but we'll go into that a little bit later. I see we have some other participants coming in, so good afternoon. So what happens is, you start the voice, and it will start up on the PC version, and it starts off with a little demo. And the PC version will actually allow you to view still images, as well as if you have a webcam, you can use that to grab images, and then it will sound them. So, the three rules that I was talking about earlier. It does a left to right scan. The higher the tone pitch that you hear represents the taller an object is in view of the camera. And then the louder the tones that you have represents the brightness of the color. So if you have a completely black object, or if lights aren't turned on in a room, you're not going to hear any sound. And then completely white objects will have the louder tones that you will hear. And then everything else is pretty much just going to come in between. So, let me go ahead and see right now. Hopefully I haven't lost anybody, so let me go ahead and see if we have any questions about how the voice works.
Yeah, I have one question. If you're using one earplug instead of a headset, and the sound wouldn't necessarily go left to right, then what would it sound like?
Whoops, hold on. Okay, sorry about that. I just want to make sure I wasn't going to over-talk anybody. What you would hear is the same exact soundscape that you would hear when you had two earphones, but what you'd have to do is kind of compensate for the fact that you only have the one. Now, I actually have used both versions, both the mobile phone version and the PC version, and Pranav has too. But with my experience with the mobile phone version, I only have one earpiece. So it's just a matter, really, of being able to compensate for the fact that you don't necessarily have that left to right scan. You'll have to kind of compensate for that kind of in your head, and just know that it's going to start on the left and end up on your right. So if you hear like a higher pitched tone, more or less, like for instance, dead center of, or not necessarily dead center, but like in the middle of the scan, then you pretty much know that you're going to have something tall right dead in front of the camera. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so for now.
Okay. Any further questions before we proceed? Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. Hopefully my screen reader won't interfere too much with what I'm going to do. But I'm going to go ahead and run the voice on my computer. And I have a couple of different shapes that I'm going to run through. And there are different speed settings, different zoom levels that you can go into. So I'm going to go ahead and run this, and we'll run through kind of what the different shapes are. And I'll kind of go through what I'm doing as I'm doing it. So, let me go ahead and you're going to hear my screen reader in the background, unfortunately. I'm setting up stereo mix so that my microphone and wave output are both active, so that way we can talk and listen to the voice at the same time. So, here we go. And hopefully my screen reading software won't be too loud, but if it is, we'll see if we can turn it down some.
Selected.
Okay. Let's go ahead. When I run the voice for the first time, I actually don't have my webcam hooked up, so you're going to hear it say that I can't find a webcam. Now what it's going to do is it's going to come up with a picture of a car. And you should be able to tell kind of, it's going to sweep more or less over the roof of the car, and so I'll let you listen to that. And here we go. And good afternoon. I'm not sure who it is just came in, but good afternoon.
Left, right. I'm sorry, the voice cannot find your webcam.
Okay, so I hope everybody can hear me over the voice. So here's the opening image. It's just an image of a car. And I'm going to mute this just a second.
No area virtual focus found.
With my screen reader will allow me to do that.
No VOS3, the engine running. Unknown command, anti-stutter on. Anti-stutter off. No letter markers off.
Hang on, I'm just going to shut this down just a minute. My screen reader is deciding not to cooperate.
Recording control, stereo mix.
Okay. Let me go ahead and do this. I want to just make sure that everybody can hear me.
Talking phones confirmed. Talking phones.
Okay. I just unlocked my keypad, or my key lock. Is everybody able to hear me over the voice, or do we need to try something different?
No problem here. I can hear you clearly, as well as the voice.
Whoops, try that again. I kind of missed that.
I could hear you clearly, as well as the voice, so there was no problem.
Also no problem here. I'm not getting a left and right pan, though, but I can hear you.
Yeah, we may have a bit of a glitch there. The problem is the conference room is not set up for stereo. At least that's what we discovered. Now, I am trying to become the moderator so that I can change this, but the webmaster has given me the credentials, but I don't know where to enter them. So let me see what I can do about that in due course.
Okay. Well, this will kind of give you an idea of what you get with kind of a mono, with just the one earpiece. I didn't take that into consideration that we didn't have stereo, but that's all right. We'll go ahead and proceed. We'll see what we can do in the meantime. So, let me go ahead and lock the talk key back. And I'll go ahead and pop a couple of shapes and let you hear the difference. And I will slow them down, because I know I'm sure for anybody that's not used the voice before that it's probably a little new and a little harder to follow, because I know it was for me my first time. So, let me go ahead and lock the talk key down, and we'll go ahead and start the voice, and I'll pull up a couple shapes and let you hear what it's going to sound like. Okay, we're pulling up the voice again.
Left, right. I'm sorry, the voice cannot find your webcam.
And we're back to our nice little introductory car thing here.
Select image file downloads, list view. Circle GIF.
I'm going to pull this circle up first, just because it's the first one on my list. Alright, so, and this is basically just going to be a circle, more or less a brighter colored circle, over, I don't remember what the background is, I think it's more or less a dark background, so you're going to hear what the circle sounds like. And I will go ahead and slow it down so we can hear different speeds that you can use on the PC version. So, here's our circle. This is, there we go. And this is actually full speed. So
the VOS 3D engine running, flight flying. Allow through.
Half speed. So, as you can hear, and I'll mute the voice just a second.
Unknown command menu bar.
There we go. So as you can hear, there's that rising pitch. It's going to be going up toward the top of the circle, and then you hear it going down, and then you hear it coming back up, and that's going to complete that circle. So let me.
Talking phones conference room. Brian Shaw is talking moderator zero participant. Brian Shaw is talking moderator zero participant six. Brian Shaw, Brandad Lal, Jacob Kruger, Al from Germany.
And I will go ahead and demonstrate a couple other shapes. But do we have any questions at this point?
Can you back off on the microphone a little? Because you're getting your breathing into the microphone. You're hearing that puff puff. Kind of getting too much interference on my end, if it's okay.
Oh, okay. I'll back off the mic a little bit. I just wasn't sure how it was gonna come across. I didn't realize I was that close. Okay. Let's see if that sounds a little better.
Yes, sir. It's a lot better now. I don't know if it's just me or I wasn't complaining. It's just that I was just suggestion, and I thought I'd just speak up for everybody.
No, that sounds a lot better from here also.
Okay, Ralph has just sent a text chat saying lower the volume of the soundscape. This is doable. You can all do this from the edit menu.
I'm not sure what you said. Did you say to lower the volume of the soundscape?
Yeah, that's what Ralph wanted Brian to do. You can adjust the volume of the soundscape independently to anything else.
Okay. All right, give me just a second, and I'll see if I can drop this a little bit. Like I said, I just tested it, and to me, it sounded okay, but that was just me. So let me adjust this, and we'll continue.
I think you're okay, because you're not so close to the microphone now. The only technical problem you're having is a humming sound, and it's not that. I don't see any way to correct that. I know of other people that come on the site that I have the same type of technical problem. So the humming sound, I don't think there's no way you can get around that.
Yeah, if anything, I would like the soundscape to be a little louder.
Three other people I know on another site that I have, that I work with, and three of them have humming sound, and we've done everything to try to fix it. Even they changed the sound card, it still did the same thing. It was their computer.
That's probably just my computer, but okay. Do we need the soundscapes up a bit? Because what I've done is just use the wave output on the volume control. You can do it. You can adjust the soundscape volume within the voice, but for this recording, since I am recording it through stereo mix, I just use the wave output. So if we need it turned up, let me know, and I'll turn it up a little bit, and we'll try it that way.
To me, you're perfect.
No, I think mostly it sounds okay. You do have a 60-cycle hum in your signal, but other than that, it sounds okay, and I would suggest we not take time to try to figure out where that's coming from. You could chase that all night long. But it's sounding okay from here anyway.
I don't see it possible that you're going to fix the humming sound. So I'll just go ahead with your demonstration.
Okay. All right. Then we'll just go ahead and continue. Then. All right. Let me go ahead and lock the talk key. And we'll go ahead and do another shape here.
Brian Shaw is talking, not a recording control. Lycos mail my supernova recording control.
Okay.
The voice engine muted. Menu bar.
Alright, so I still have the circle pulled up. I'm going to go ahead and unmute.
No area virtual focus down.
I need to turn these off.
Anti-stutter allow through.
I'm going to go ahead and unmute this, and we'll still have the circle on. Then we'll just change shapes. And that's still at that speed.
Select image file, ask for cancel AOL downloads.
Let's go ahead and...
Shared music, Chilo's square view.
There we go. Now, that was circle, kind of a brief little thing there. Now we'll go ahead and pull up square, and we'll demonstrate that. And this actually, I believe, from the
area virtual. No area virtual focus down.
From the.
Allow me. Live focus of the OS3D and no area virtual focus down.
Is going to be like a filled square. As you can hear from the soundscape.
Allow me.
Mute that just a second.
Menu bar.
So that's going to come up. That's more or less from the way it's sounding to be a filled square. I do have one other one that's actually an interesting one on here, and I'll go ahead and pull that up.
Select image file, ask AOL downloads, list waves,
GIF. That's actually a set of waves. So let me go ahead and pull this up, and this is still at half speed. You can adjust, and I'll go into that in just a second, but you can adjust the speed and the zoom level at at which you want to hear these soundscapes. So let me go and pull these waves up. And best as I've been able to figure out, there's three of them. So we'll go ahead and pull it up and let you see what you can make of it.
The voice engine muted. Menu bar.
Pull that up. And as you can hear, it's going to go through. And as you can hear, it's going to go through.
Allow group. Unknown command. Menu bar.
And you can hear as it's kind of cresting over top of the waves. Like I said, as best as I can count, there is three of them. I'm going to go ahead and put that one back on and just see what everybody else thinks.
Allow through.
And I'm going to put this waves one back on. That's kind of an interesting one. I like it. So here it goes again.
Blank line.
That.
Menu bar. Talking
and
phones contact. Participant 6, Brian Shaw, Gene Parker, Al from Germany, Jerry Hogan.
So, what does everybody think so far?
I think I hear one crest. I hear the image going away and then coming back down. I don't hear three separate waves as you described.
Okay, so you're saying you're hearing just the single rise of the wave?
Yeah, that's correct. That's what I hear.
Okay, the little trick in there, Brian, you may want to bring the shape up and reduce the speed. I, too, can pick up three. There are three. But there's a... Yeah, as Jacob says, one primary rise, but three variants. So, yes, that would probably be a more accurate description. Now, think again of the sound schema that Brian outlined, and let's see where we go from there.
Okay, so you want me to go ahead and bring it up. I think there's one other, let's see. I'm wondering if Zoom might work. Let me go ahead and test Zoom with half speed. I'm going to do Zoom in by, I believe it's 2, and we'll see if that makes a difference. So, let me go ahead and lock this down. Actually, let me take questions one more time before, or any other thoughts on it, before I go back in and play with the Zoom and the rest of that. So, do we have any other questions, any other thoughts before I bring this back up?
Okay, Pranav, I would agree with you. There are three tones or variables. I'm not sure how many, but... I only hear one crest, but yeah, I mean there are several, tones or, as the fellow said, variables in there.
Yeah, so three. You hear several tones. Now you need to track how the tones are moving across the soundscape, and see what happens. That's how we're coming up with the figure of three.
Oh, okay, so. Okay, so the figure of three isn't how many times it moves away, but the figure of three is how many tones are in the signal itself. Is that correct?
In this case, yes, because you see what's happening is each tone or every change in pitch represents a change in height, so which is how we're counting. Okay, three distinct tones, so okay, there are three distinct waves at different heights.
Okay, so what you're describing is a parallel, three parallel waves as opposed to three linear waves, is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, do we want to go ahead and put this on once? Do we want to go ahead and put this on once more, or do we want to go ahead and move on?
Could you play it just one more time?
Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and put it back on. I'm going to go ahead and apply a zoom and actually zoom that in a little bit more. And we'll see if we can... We'll see if that makes a difference. Do you want to try it that way, or do you want to try it just the way I've been doing it?
Try it with the zoom and see if that makes any difference. Also, a slower speed wouldn't hurt. I know it's probably trying the patience of those who are used to it being faster, but a slower speed would also be helpful.
Okay. And, you know, honestly, like I said before, if you're not used to this, if this is like your first, maybe second time of actually hearing the software, it is going to be a little bit confusing to kind of follow things. And in my own personal experience, it took me probably 2 or 3 months looking at still photos with the voice software before I was able to actually grasp the concept of, you know, okay, so this pitch means this, or the higher, this higher pitch means that there's a taller object in here. So it is a really steep kind of learning curve, but we can give you the web address. And we'll give you the web address at some point throughout the presentation. And you can go pick up a copy of it for the PC. And like I said, you can play with it with still photos. Or if you have a webcam, you can just use it and look at whatever you happen to have around that you can get to with your webcam. So, let me go ahead and lock this, and I'll go ahead and zoom it. And I believe there is one more notch down of speed that I can take it. But let me go ahead and zoom it in. That may be a little bit slower speed that you're looking for. So hold on just a minute and we'll get there.
Just a quick thing. Jacob on the text chat recommends exercise mode, which is good, but you may want to customize the options. It gives you randomly placed shapes.
Whoops. Hold on just a second. Yeah, that is quite true. I don't know if we want to... Do we want to demonstrate that in the presentation? Because it is all random. It's not like it's any set static specific image. And if people are used, if this is the first time hearing this, I'm kind of wondering how confusing that would be.
No, I think let's leave exercise mode alone for now, because let's stick to the single shapes that you have. They are good, very good as introduction.
Okay. Let me lock this and we'll go ahead and zoom it and do the waves one again. Oops. Hold on just a minute. I'm having a little bit of a technical difficulty, but hold on just a second and we'll get it under control. Well, I might not be able to do that. Something's crashed on my computer. This is not good. While I'm working, let me go ahead. Do you want to pick up and kind of demo the... mobile phone version, Pranav?
Yeah, I can do that. And Debbie, as you would have just heard, Brian is trying to sort out his computer. Brian, you have somebody called Debbie Musser, at least that's how George is pronouncing it, signaling you on the text chat.
Okay. Yeah, she's a friend of mine. I told her about the whole presentation that we're doing. So, yeah, give me a minute and I'll see if I can sort this out.
Okay, in the meantime, I'll give you a quick run-through of the mobile phone version. And in terms of the soundscape, there is no difference. The sound schema mapping, everything remains the same. But what changes is, A, you don't have a default scene. So when I switch this on, what you will hear is, well, probably my computer monitor and whatever else, whatever is sounded through the mobile phone camera. That's the first difference. The other thing is, of course, we have fewer options on the mobile phone version, and some of the options are even different. For example, on the mobile phone version, you have a special option for stereo channel, mono channel, something called 3D, something called 4D, which does make life rather interesting. I'm going to bring up the voice here, and let's see if you can... wait a minute. Okay, I have a Nokia E51, so let's see. Okay, I realign the headset microphone. I have the voice assigned to a soft key 1 on my phone. And here we go. Oh, that's the start sound. This is probably my LCD monitor, and let's move it. Okay, let's move it to something more interesting. Oh, wait a minute. Could everyone hear that in the first place? That was just a demo run till Brian gets it sorted out.
Pranav, I can actually hear that better than the PC version. I don't know why, but that particular demo that you just did makes much more sense to me than what was on the PC. Sorry, Brian. Nothing personal.
Okay, that's interesting. Brian, how are we on your situation? Otherwise, I'll... take over and walk everyone through installation, uninstallation, blah, blah, blah. And then we'll squeeze, then we'll come to the color recognizer and so on. Okay, I think Brian is sorting things out, so I'll pick up from here. Hang on, let me figure out how to lock the key, or whatever, the talk key. Hang on. Okay, that was simple. I have now locked the key, and I'm going to bring up the voice again. Okay, now let me actually move this other... Okay, here we go. This is what a dead LCD monitor sounds like. It's basically a smooth surface, and you can sense this. A slight edge on the left of the image. That's the boundary of the monitor. Now let me show you some of the other options that we have. Mute. Negative video. I'll come to what this is. Detect change. Contrast. Color names. Disable flash. This may or may not be supported on your phone. Leave flash alone as of now. Resolution, this is interesting. Color filter. Calibrate white. Don't touch this unless you have to. Volume. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, sound volume is 4. Alright. Now let's... mute, we go back up. There's a help also. Reset. So in case you are fiddling with options, you may want to, if you want to reset, you can do that. Textual menus, you don't need this. Textual menus are useful if you have an old version of Docs or Mobile Speak and are running on an ancient phone like, 365s, a Nokia 3650 or something like that. Anti-stutter, again, something similar. View rotation, you don't want to play with this, but basically you can change the image rotation. And let's see if I want to demonstrate that at a later stage. Sample rate, this is interesting. Hertz 1600, 11025, 8000. Down arrow increases this. 22050. So I think this gives us the highest quality sound. Okay. Let's go. Okay. Volume. Channels. Okay, channels is interesting. You have 4D audio. Cancel. Mono. Stereo. 3D audio. Let's see what 3D sounds like. Not very different from 4D, but still. Let's... Okay. Where is channel? Channel is here. Let's go to mono and see what happens. Yeah, okay, so what's happened is... I am getting a click, and let's see if you can hear this. Now, what this click, this very audible click, what it's doing is, it's telling you that you're now in mono mode, so the click is indicating an image boundary. So every time you hear the click, you know that, okay, one pan is complete, so the panning is starting again. And let me switch channels. And wait a minute, we change channels. I got a 4D audio. And let me show you scan time, which is again the speed control, which is extremely useful, and I'll tell you where. Scan time. Now, the default scan time is 1,000 milliseconds, which is one frame per second. You can slow this down or speed it up. I'm going to slow it down. 500. So I go to 500. Oh, okay, here we are. Okay. Sorry, I've speeded it up. So you can hear the change in the rhythm of the soundscape. This is useful when you are walking around. And I'll come to that. Okay, let's slow it down now. So 2000 is the slowest, and we go here. As slow as it goes. Let me... okay. This is what my telephone looks like. Let's bring the microphone a little closer. Now, the issue with the mobile phone version is you have to be careful of motion blur, so you have to hold the phone steady. This is what I'm trying to do here. See, those are the keys, the piano-like sound. Okay. I bring it closer. And I take it further away. That's the phone, of course. Now, this is perspective. You see how things change. You can't sense the key so clearly. Okay. Now, I exit the voice. And I am going to unlock the... Okay, any questions so far? And did we all get that?
I got that very well, Pranav. Thank you. That was very helpful. The only thing is, don't put the mobile so close to the microphone. A while back, you had it very close to the microphone, and that was too close. So just keep it well away. But it's, yeah, this is making much more sense. I don't know why, but somehow the mobile version... is making more sense to me. Now, I do have a question. When you get a chance to talk about the practical applications, I do want to know how you use this with GPS.
Yes, I'll tell you how I use this with GPS. It's a lot of fun, especially when you do it in a car. So you have the voice, you have the GPS, and I have Word running on my poor little Nokia E51. Imagine. And somewhere along the line, I have to take a phone call also. By the way, for those of you, in case someone is getting worried about phone calls, the voice mutes itself automatically when you're on a call. So that priority is not a problem. Anyone, any other questions? Then I will go forward.
I just want to let everybody know I'm back. Sorry about that. My computer decided to crash on me.
Oh, good, as in good that you're back. And luckily, I switched on recording as well, so I don't think we have lost anything. I don't know. Mine crashed also. Oh, well, we'll see. Okay, so I've got a deafening silence, which means no one has questions. Brian, what do you think? Should I continue with the color recognition, and then you want to pick things up from there, or you want to... You shall be backtrack.
Go ahead. Yeah, since go ahead and do the color recognition, and I'll go ahead and get reset back up here, and we'll I'll redo the whole waves thing again. So yeah, go ahead and pick up the color recognition.
Okay. Now let me lock this key again. Okay. Now, the soundscapes encode height, they encode brightness, and they tell you where the object is. They don't tell you color. And the problem here is that as of today, there is no way that you can experience color. There's no analogous sense for color. So color speaks. Okay, so the voice will actually speak color. So what do we start with? Let's see. I have a towel of all the things in the world, and I don't know what color this is. This is actually useful because what happens is that we have hired help who displaces the towel. Okay. I have the voice running. I launch it. Okay. Now that is what my towel looks like. I just sort of spread it out on top of the table, and I'm holding the camera vertically over it. Let's realign it. No, okay. This way is better. So you're picking up the towel and some part of the table. Now let's power up the color. Now, there are hotkeys for this. You don't have to go through the menu all the time, but I don't remember the hotkeys all that much. Okay.
Gray.
Gray. Right, take it up.
Gray. Dark. Yellow. Dark. Yellow. Green.
Dark, yellow, green.
Gray.
Dark gray. Ouch. Okay, in a case like this, what do you do? You don't know what's exactly in the center of the camera view. And this towel does have something green. Now, what you need to remember is, let me just mute the voice here. What you need to remember is that the thing with the voice is that it's not a dedicated, it's not a dedicated color identifier. It does work. But if you, let's say, take the color identifier from CareTech, it may still do, it'll have a bigger vocabulary, so you'll think it'll do a better job. Now, the reason behind this is that with a mobile phone, you don't have what's called a reference light, which is why we have the calibrate option that we went through in the menus. The thing is, with a reference light, see, color is dependent on light, saturation of light. So, with a reference light, you can calibrate, and that calibration will not change. So you know that, okay, this is the light falling on an object, and I can accordingly write, you know, the software I have to drive the color identifier and tell it that, okay, this much saturation means this much color. The trouble with a mobile phone is you don't have a reference light. Yes, you could use the flash before you ask me. But the thing with the... Now, this is where we run into manufacturer specifications and what they do. Because the voice is in Java on mobile phones for maximum cross-platform support. And in Java, you don't know... Sometimes flash works on some phones, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it causes a glare, so flash is a little unreliable. But by default, it is left switched on, and I will come to flash. So what do you do? You've got a towel with you, and you know you're getting confusing color output. So let me screensaver. I unmute the voice.
Gray.
Gray. I'm holding it at arm's length. Gray. Now, I have
gray.
Flipped the view by 90 degrees.
Dark. Gray.
Dark gray, gray. So, this is a...
Dark.
So,
gray.
I have spread out the towel a little more. Now, let's...
Gray.
Let me show you something. No color names. That'll turn it off. Okay, now... Let's show you something. Now, if you're a sighted person, if I told you to find the blue cookie box on a table, you will not have a problem. Because you'll know what's blue. You would have been taught in whatever cultural context. If you're not sighted, you have a bit of a problem. Okay, the concept of blue is a bit of a challenge, because there's no analogous sense. So, practically, what does it mean? It means, well, you need something that's colored in blue, no matter what it is. So you can set the voice to only sound parts of a view that are of a given color. Now, you'll ask me, how do I know what's of a given color? Now, I'll just... This is where the analysis mode comes in. Color filter. Now, let me run through these. Cancel. Analyze. That's what I'm going to show you. Red. Green. Blue. Cyan. Yellow. Orange. Magenta. Skin. This is very interesting. White. Cancel. We're back to analyze. So let's fire up analyze mode and see what happens.
Yellow.
magenta, red, orange, yellow, green, cyan.
Now the problem you have here is that it's saying the color names, and you'll realize that, well, okay, gray is nowhere here, because, well, okay, gray is, you have some orange, a little bit of yellow. Now, the soundscape is a little soft. Let me see what I can do.
Blue.
Blue, so happy. No,
magenta.
Nothing blue.
Red.
Red.
Orange. Yellow.
So this, some yellow, some orange.
Green.
Cyan. Let me point this at my t-shirt and see what happens.
Magenta. Red.
So I'm not orange. Wearing a red t-shirt. It's not orange either. Okay.
Yellow.
Oh. So I am
yellow.
Wearing
green.
The largest soundscape
blue.
Is a yellow soundscape. And
magenta.
Let me turn this off. Okay, before I do that, let me switch to skin and show you what this is. Now, skin is a special mode which allows you to find people. So if you want to look at people's faces, you use skin to check color. Now, so I'm pointing the phone, I'm bringing the microphone really close. This is the sound of... It's effectively no output. Now, I'm going to aim this at my face. Okay, the soundscape is very soft. Let me get it to my arm. Yeah. So, it's found skin because I have my arm under the camera. So, it has found skin. And let's see if you wanted to say the color names.
Gray.
Rubbish. Tell me gray.
Cyan.
I am not gray.
Blue.
Okay, I have mangled the settings here somewhere, so let me reset
Cyan.
It. Reset. Okay. It's got reset. Very nice. Let me... increase the volume. Sound volume back to 4 so that we can hear. And let's... I'm looking for the channels option. 4D audio. Okay, now this is my arm, and I'm going to activate the skin filter. Okay, where is the color filter? Okay, I've crossed it. Fantastic. Hang on. Color filter. Skin. So I'm going to point the phone at the wall. Now, it's a mobile phone, which is why it takes a little time to react. And you're hearing nothing from the voice because, well, there is nothing. There's no skin there. Now, wood is supposed to be similar, so I'm going to move back and point it at my table. Yeah, okay. I don't know if you can hear this. It's picked up wood, similar to skin. And if I point the camera at my arm, yeah, there you go. Okay, so we have seen that. Mute. Let me show you what help looks like. Okay, you can use your up arrow to review this. Okay, I dismissed this dialog box. And let's... Wait, let's... Let me show you how to take pictures with the voice. Wait a minute. Color filter. These are toggles. Color filters. So. Okay, wait. Let's just. Now, the first thing you have to realize is mobile phone cameras. You need to change their resolution. In the voice, you can max out the resolution of the camera so that you can get a high resolution snapshot. So you go to resolution. Let's see if it goes higher. I say I backspace. No. So can I go to no. I can't change anything here. 1024. Now, the way you take a snapshot is... Okay, for want of something better, I'm going to photograph the telephone. So, I come to the telephone. And, let's see. Let's come to the other phone. You're getting the phone. Now, I'm raising the camera. I'm getting some... I like this. I'm getting the phone. Can anyone sense the twisting line? That's the receiver. Now, the trick is to hold the phone steady and I hit the P key. Great, snapshot taken, but because of Symbian security settings, you're going to be asked a lot of questions. Yes. Okay, now there are a couple of other questions which Tox and up arrow. This is the command to read the current line for users using other screen readers on the phone. You need to read the current line manually. Yes.
Yes. The VOIC. Allow application to VOIC reader data.
Yes. Yes. Okay, Jacob's got a good point. The P key is actually the 7 key pressed twice.
Allow application to VOIC reader data.
Write user data. Yes, write it. Okay, we are back. Now, I can go back. Let's photograph the monitor just for the heck of it. Because what I want to show you is one or two of these prompts go away after the first time. Another picture. And let's see what prompts we have this time around. Yes.
Yes. Allow application to VLIC right user data.
Yeah.
Yes, the VLIC.
Okay, you're back. Now, how do you see these images? I exit the voice. Airtel, that's my service provider in India. Outdoor is the profile name.
Gallery,
I go into gallery. Again, I have this set to a shortcut because I use this feature so frequently. That's the image. That's the next image. I don't know what this one is, but let's go back up. The gallery sorts in descending order, so your most recent image is at the top, at least on my Nokia E51. Let's look at the properties of this image and see what we have done. View details. Okay, 1024 by 1024. It's given us the size also. This is useful when you are testing the voice. You got a new phone, let's say you bought the N86. You want to know what's the highest resolution that it's capable of. So that's when you start entering numbers and playing around with this. One question that may arise is, why can't the voice do this automatically? We did try it, but again, it's one of those mobile phone things where auto detection does not work too reliably as of now. Now, I know that I've changed the order a little bit in terms of installation and uninstallation, but I thought it's more fruitful to show you what the voice can do, and then we can cover the technical nitty-gritties in case anyone's interested. Let me unlock the talk key and let's take some questions. Okay, everyone, key unlocked, floor open.
Well, I have a whole lot of questions, but I guess I can start with the color identifier. That's really cool. In your experience, is it accurate? How accurate is it?
Okay, it is accurate enough to have allowed me to go to the office without people giving me a second glance because of the color of clothes I was wearing. Because what I have done is I matched my tie with my trousers. And it takes a little practice in terms of positioning the phone, but it's doable. And the color identifier is also there in the PC version, though you don't have the analyze function. In fact, what you can do is on the PC, and this is, I have done this once, is I have a scanner. So, okay, I had a scenario where I had to send my clothes to the laundry. So I got them back and I ran them through my scanner to check whether they were of the right color and so on and so forth and the right shape. And that's something you can do. So in that respect, it is quite reliable. Yes, its vocabulary is not very strong, so you should know, according to the voice, what's the color of a given object. Because, you know, as I play with the voice, I'm realizing that sighted people have, well, differing ideas about color. You just don't know. I mean, I went shopping for clothing the other day, and it was interesting, to say the least.
Always talking.
I'm going to put a point in here about the color identifier tail. Because I was helping paint some stuff for some picnic tables for the 4th of July celebration our family had. And what I actually did is, once I got through painting sections of the picnic table, some of the boards on it, I'd go back and ran the mobile phone version of the voice over it just to see what I had missed and what I hadn't based on the color of the paint. So in that regard, I was able to go back and touch up where I'd missed, Because the paint itself they were using, they wanted to use, was gray. So that kind of helped out. I can't remember what color the table was before, but it did help out there to kind of allow me to go back and retouch up spots that I had missed.
That's really cool. Is it sensitive enough that it would pick up, say, dust on something, or, you know, if there's a spot, say, on a table or something like
that? Always talking.
Now, I've never actually tried that. I'm not exactly sure how it would pick up dust, because dust is actually pretty fine in terms of its composition. So I'm not sure how it would do that. It might pick up spots, depending on, like I said, depending on the color, depending on the coloration of them. So it could probably do that too.
It might pick up dust also. Again, I haven't tried it, but you know what would happen would be if you had a very smooth sound, you would know that the surface you're looking at is smooth. So probably no dust. Of course, with fine dust, you could have a problem. But if there was a fair bit of dust, then the soundscape would be a little hazy. It won't be a pure tone. It won't be a smooth sound. So you could have a situation where you could detect whether there was a significant amount of leftover dust.
I can see all kinds of applications for that color identifier. Including when you're traveling, you know? And I really could understand when you were doing the demonstration of the color identifier in the analysis part of it, where you were talking, you know, about the different colors that were there. I'm wondering if it picks up patterns. For example, suppose you had a towel that had flowers on it, or one that had stripes on it. What would it sound like?
You will hear the patterns. That's why it's so important to know the soundscape. And that's the beauty of the analysis mode, because what will happen is it'll say red, and then it'll sound the part that is red in the image. So if you had a towel with red stripes, then you would see those stripes after it had said the word red. At the moment, I don't think I have a towel with stripes, but I'll look around.
Okay, so if you had, suppose you wanted to bring guest towels in, and you went out to the rack, and, you know, the towels had been washed, and you went out to the rack to get them, it's enough so that you could, you know, give them matching towels, isn't it?
Yeah, that should work. And I'll probably land up trying this tomorrow, because I'm sure we'll have some towels drying on the line somewhere.
Pranav, is this a good time to talk about how you use this with GPS? Also, I know you have a car and a driver, but have you used this using any kind of public transport? Particularly, have you used it using a rickshaw or a train? Mostly I use rickshaws and trains, but and now again a bus, but can you talk about those aspects, please?
Okay. I haven't used it in a rickshaw, though I have used GPS in a rickshaw and saved myself a fair amount of money in the bargain. But in a train, I did use it briefly to look around where I was sitting, and I haven't tried too much navigation in the train, but it is doable depending on how good the phone camera is and the level of light. The biggest problem you're going to have in a train is the level of light, because I don't think those coaches are particularly well lit. So you could have a bit of a problem there. But other than that, it'll work for navigation, and I suspect you could even count seats with the train. So, you know, you go to the toilet or something and you walk back and you want to count, okay, I am 8 seats down the aisle. You could probably do it.
That I can do by hand, but I was mostly interested in for example, the station platforms or in the road or something like that? How does it work? How do you use it in combination with GPS, or tell me how you use it with in combination with GPS?
Okay, I have not tried using this on a station platform, primarily because, well, I've been, A, whenever I've been on a train, I've been too rushed, and B, it's, you could probably use it to avoid colliding with people, but I haven't really done too much in that area. I've done some train travel recently, and I think the biggest thing that you could use this for probably is if you had the camera angle right to detect staircases, because on at least the platforms I've been on, there is absolutely no indication, and those stairs are very, very steep. But I haven't tried this as of now. As regards GPS, okay, they're completely separate in the sense that, yes, GPS will get me till the station, but how do I get inside and how do I find a train platform? The limitation there is the range of the mobile phone camera. In fact, I've tried looking out the window of a train and so on, and it's difficult more because of the range of the camera. You don't pick up so many faraway objects, and so you can't lock on to something and move towards it. So that complicates things a little bit.
Okay, so it doesn't see things that are moving. It sees things that are holding still. Is that correct?
No, it does see things that are moving. You have to track the soundscape, because what you can do is you set it to 500 milliseconds and you start moving. So you're moving and someone else is moving. So it picks up things that move. That's not a problem. If you can lock onto something that's moving, no problem.
So is it actually taking a new picture that quickly? Or I'm not quite sure how this works. I'm speaking of the mobile version. Because I didn't hear any evidence of your camera clicking.
No. It takes a picture one snapshot a second, or one snapshot half a second. You don't hear the camera click in that case. It remains at a slightly lower resolution. You don't hear it. It's like what Brian showed us. It's the webcam. So it goes into video mode or something like that. I'm not sure. But it's taking pictures continuously. It's a live feed. It's not storing them. It's only when I hit the P key is when a snapshot is taken, like on a camera. That's when you take a still image. Otherwise, these are all live views.
Gene was asking about moving objects, and actually I can interject a pretty interesting story that I use my phone for. I'm working toward getting certified to teach other people with disabilities how to ride horses, and there's a whole bunch of steps that are involved in getting that certification. But what I'm using my phone for and the voice for is to be able to judge how they're sitting on the horses, if they need to sit up a little straighter because they're leaning too far forward or too far back, that kind of stuff. And so it will actually track, it's kind of a combination of using your own natural hearing and the voice in combination if you want to track something that's moving. At least that's how I do it. And like I said, then I can kind of judge from the soundscape and from what feedback the voice gives me whether I need to tell my students, you know, you're leaning too far forward, you need to readjust your legs or your heels, how they're positioned. So that's pretty much how I'm working toward that. Does that kind of help answer that question?
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Yes, it does. And I have just one more question, at least for the time being. When you install this, do you put it on the phone memory or the card memory? And are there any specific installation instructions that we need?
I have put it on the memory card without any difficulty. And yes, there are specific instructions in the sense I can demonstrate the uninstallation and installation procedure. That's not a problem. You basically, the only specific thing you have to do is you have to give the voice permission. You have to tell the phone that, okay, the voice has permission to use the camera and so on, and to ask only the first time that it uses the camera. Don't ask the second time. That's typically in the application manager on my phone.
If anybody does want to backtrack, I do have the Waves image pulled up on my computer again, and I do have it slowed down.
Zoom turned off. Normal mode.
So.
Yeah, let's do that. It's always good to do more soundscapes. Let's backtrack to the Waves and see how we do this time.
It should be sounding now, is it? So, okay, here it is. I think it's actually coming through. And if you can hear the three different...
I think it was easier without the zoom. I don't know. Yeah, I think it was less confusing without zoom. The plugin crashed. And Brian, try. I'm just wondering whether negative video would be a good option. I have a feeling that there is. Those waves are too much in the background. I'm not sure. Maybe worth giving it a try.
Here's with the negative video, and I'll go ahead and zoom it if we need to.
What does that mean? What are we hearing with the negative video?
Okay, negative video is like a reverse highlight. So it, you know, usually dark things are in the background, but in this case, it reverses that. So the dark things, the video is flipped, so the dark things come more into the foreground. That certainly brought out one or two of the waves, I think, a little more clearly, but not the other ones.
I heard three distinct sounds, three distinct waves, but again, they were sequential. They were not parallel, as we were talking before. But I also hear different tones.
Well, as I had said before, the different tones actually represent the different pitches. So obviously your higher tones in that image, and it did go through a little bit fast. Oops, sorry. There's not a... I don't remember where it is in the menu, but there's another setting. I had it on half speed and a zoom factor too, but there is another speed setting that's a little bit slower. But I think that as you go through the speed settings and make it slower, and as you go through and increase the zoom from 2 to 4 and 8, and I believe there's a 16, you're cutting off a part of that image, and then you have to go through with the arrow keys and go through and review the image that way. And yes, you can do that way.
Yes, you can certainly do it. In fact, it's Ctrl-Alt-F3 quarter speed, which is the slowest speed. So let's try that maybe without zoom. positive, you know, the standard video and quarter speed and see if people find that better or easier to understand.
Okay. Let's pull it back up here. Give me just a second and I'll pull it back up. Okay. Here's with quarter speed. And I'll let you listen to this one.
The VOS 3, the engine running, flight line.
Oops, I think Brian's plugin crashed again or something. But how was it at quarter speed?
I missed most of that. The light went out, and I have a little glitch in my wireless when it switches over to the inverter. So I missed most of that. If you could give an explanation as to what that was?
That was the wave image running at quarter speed on the voice. No zoom, nothing fancy, just as slow as it will go. There's another thing we can try with that image, and let's see what we can do. We will try and disable the contrast functionality because we're looking at static images. You can there are an awful lot of settings you can try with different images to play around. You can change contrast, you have zoom, you have speeds, you have rasterization, you can turn images around, all sorts of things. Paul, I'm just seeing you on the user list. When did you come in? Do you have any questions? This is being archived, so let's see how well the archiving has gone. Jerry, any questions? Rupakshi, any questions? Ralph, how are we placed? Everyone still online? Jerry, what about you? I think you were saying something.
No. I was recording, but I had a cable man from Time Warner Cable come here to swap out a couple boxes, so I had to step away, and I noticed it was kind of quiet in here, and I was checking to see who's in here, and if the audio was working. No, I really don't. I'm recording. Go back to the recording later.
Okay, no problem. Brian, how are we placed?
I'm back. I don't know what's going on here, unless I'm just trying to run too many sound applications at once and it's crashing.
Yeah, probably. I was just going around the table to see if people had more questions. So far nobody has too many questions. So where do you want to go with this now?
Well, I suppose, I don't know what time it is, hang on. My phone's ringing, but whoever it is can just wait. That's 3:00, so we're about on time. I'll tell you what we could do. If you want me to, I'll give out the Seeing with Sound website, and I don't know what more we can discuss.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Seeing with Sound website, there is the mailing list. And Peter Meyer is also on Twitter. He's called Seeing with Sound.
Okay. Then we'll do this. For anybody who is interested, both versions, the mobile phone and the PC version of the voice software, are at www.seeingwithsound.com. It's all one word. And there's links on there to download both the mobile phone version and the PC version. And pretty much what it's going to take, if people do want to use it, what it's going to take is just a lot of kind of looking. I started by using still photographs, and that may be the easiest thing to start with, and there's a bunch of them up there on the Seeing with Sound website. So that may be a good place to start with the PC version. And if you have a mobile phone, the recommendation on their website, on the Seeing the Sound website, is just kind of start around your own home. That way you're in a safe environment, an environment you know, and then you can get used to it from there. Is there anything I missed?
No. You start with common objects like bookshelves and chairs and things like that. And that's how I started too, with still images. No webcam, nothing required. You start by looking at very basic still images. And the other thing is, what you can do with still images is that okay, Jacob has just said that he uses it for looking at the UI of some games, which is interesting because I have used it to evaluate web page design, in the sense that, okay, is this page cluttered? Is it well spaced? You get an idea. You know, the critical thing with vision, at least with the voice, is that, you know, when we touch, we start at a micro level. So you touch one component and you build up a picture bit by bit, unless it's a very small object. With vision, it's the reverse. You start at the macro level and then you try and analyze what you're looking at. And this is something you have to get used to, because in the waves images, it was almost simultaneous. It is not that one wave coming, then sequential, get the next. That won't happen. So this is something very different you'll have to get used to. You need to try different settings, and there is a mini text tutorial on the Seeing with Sound website. There is also a tutorial that I have written, which is on sensorysubstitution.co.uk/tutorial. I will just put this link into the chat window if I can get to it. Jacob, anything else you'd want to say? Jacob Kruger is also a longtime user of the voice. I agree. He said practice makes perfect, and I have just dumped the link to my tutorial in the chat window. That has a number of images and corresponding sound files. My blog also has images I take. So wherever I go, I keep photographing. So I was at the golf course the other day. I took some images there. I'll dump the link to my blog also. Hang on.
I do have to put in while Pranav's putting the blog link up. Jacob's right that you can use the voice, at least on the PC version. There's an option for full screen sonification, and you can use it for different graphical purposes. Gaming, there's a section on the Seeing the Sound website about gaming. There's a couple of games actually that I've used the voice for, and they're all, I mean, it's graphical and audio. And I pretty much just turned all the audio stuff off and just went by the graphics. And once you get used to how the voice sounds, and once you get used to the basics, you could probably go through and do the virtual environments and stuff like that with the voice. But that's probably not a good starting point, because it is quite confusing, and it will be at first. So like Prenno said, you may just want to start with the basic, you know, squares, triangles, and work from there.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So run with the basics, start practicing. Remember, you know, it's like you're learning a totally different sense. So when children start, they also keep goofing up, usually, apparently. And it takes them a while to figure out what's what. And I think it's the same process here. I think that pretty much covers the introduction. Anyone, anything else to add?
just that I really appreciate both of your time, and this makes a whole lot more sense to me now. I have downloaded the mobile version. I haven't installed it yet, but I will. And Pranav, I'll probably be back with you at some point about this. And on my next trip to Delhi, perhaps we can spend some time working with it a little bit, or maybe a lot, depending on the uses for it.
I'll tell you one interesting thing that I did with it one night. I was riding home with my grandfather, and it happened to be raining. And I had my earpiece in, and not necessarily for anything, but I was just sitting there, and I had my phone out, and had the voice on, and camera pointed at the windshield. And I could tell where the actual raindrops had hit the windshield of his car. And I'm like, well, this is interesting to be able to actually see how that they hit and the different patterns that they make.
That's very fascinating. I never tried that. I did photograph raindrops outside a very large window, and that's somewhere on my blog. The other thing I have tried to use the voice for is to gauge hired drivers, because when you're testing a driver, it's difficult to know how he's driving. So I have GPS running as safety to know where he's going, and I'm looking out the windscreen with the voice, and I have been able to tell if he gets too close to a bus or something else.
Really? Oh, that's interesting. I'm not sure I want to know that. Those people in the room who aren't familiar with traffic in India, our traffic is much different than in the West.
It's a very chaotic traffic, and the reason you need to know that information is because if he is in the camera view, if there's an object in the camera view, you know that he is just too close. He has to be at least 100 meters away for braking and anticipating what someone is doing. So I've probably kicked out a few people, not kicked out in the sense, not hired them on the basis of what the voice was telling me. And, I mean, there are other ways you can make out if he's braking too suddenly and so on, but this is some very critical information. And what you can do with the PC version is, if you have video glasses and so on, you can take a movie of the car ride, which makes things even more interesting, because you can get it, get sighted people, etc., to review it and see how that is going.
Oh, that's very interesting. Have you, I'm just curious, Pranav, if you've tried using this with street crossings. Of course, you're using a stick as well, but have you been able to have any success using it with street crossings that involve oncoming traffic?
No, I haven't tried it with street crossings yet. In fact, Brian, have you tried this with street crossings? Because this could be interesting. But for traffic, I don't know, you don't actually need the voice. It makes enough noise. We don't have hybrid cars here, but that could be an interesting application.
I've never tried it myself. I usually just use my cane, or if I'm walking with somebody, but I've never actually tried street crossings with the voice. I presume probably if you set it at the highest possible speed that it could go, you might be alright, but as they say on the website, it's an aid. It's not meant to replace cane or guide dog. And I don't know. I don't know. I've just never tried it that way.
Yeah, no, it's a support device, definitely. But what I'm curious about is how it clocks traffic. We don't have a lot of traffic signals where there should be. And so, of course, the traffic is moving quite fast. I'm just curious about how accurately it can track that.
It's not so much about it tracking the traffic. It's about how quickly your brain can learn to interpret the soundscape, because what will happen is you'll have to increase the speed. Now, the moment you increase speed, you lose detail. So that's something that we'll have to try. In fact, I'm getting video glasses and I've got a netbook, so I will be going more mobile with this, because the mobile version is good and it's very good for indoor navigation, like navigating around my cluttered office. It saved my nose on a couple of occasions, but you need the PC. You probably need the PC version for crossings, because you'll probably need eightfold speed, because traffic can be fast. So let's see. It's a matter of time, and to some extent, a matter of training as well.
I was also interested in the picture that you took of the wood grains. I would bet that after some training, it would be possible to tell different types of wood. I'm just wondering if that's possible.
I haven't tried it. It might be, but I haven't tried it.
About the closest I've come to that, like I said, it's going back to the 4th of July party again. But we were... Whoops, I'm doing the wrong thing on my phone here. We were going back and having to we were having to build a couple of different things, canopies and whatnot. And they wanted to, my mom and her boyfriend wanted to put up a little counter type thing so people could come up and get like chips and hot dogs and that kind of stuff. And so as a result, they're like, okay, pick up the wood. Or pick up whatever's left for scraps and stuff like that. And quite frankly, the grass was a little bit long where it was, and I'm like, I don't feel like sticking my hand down there. So I turned the voice on and was able to pretty much just from the soundscapes reach right down and grab what scraps of wood were there. But as far as actually identifying, you know, 2x4s from plywood, from shelving or different posts and stuff like that, I don't know. I've never tried that one.
Well, what I was responding to was the sort of the rhythm of the grain, you know, and some types of wood have a more open grain and some have a more tightly close together grain and so forth. And it was quite fascinating.
That should be doable, I think. Shouldn't have a problem there. It picks up rhythm, it picks up that kind of detail very nicely. Okay, anyone, anything else? I think we have done over 2 hours.
Well, I don't have anything else that I can think of to put in here. Anybody else have any further thoughts, comments, questions, or the like?
Looks like no. So I'm going to stop the recording and log off. Thanks for attending, everyone.